This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, June 15th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. Next-generation 5G networks are expected to power much of the technology of the future. But the U.S. is concerned that one of the biggest providers of telecom equipment, China's Huawei, could present a serious threat to national security. That's why the U.S. has been trying to convince other countries to shut Chinese tech out of their networks. So far, they've had limited success. So now, Washington is trying a different approach. Fewer warnings and more incentives. Coming up, our reporter Stu Wu will join us with more on what's behind the change after these headlines. The electric truck company Lordstown Motors said its CEO and CFO have resigned. The news comes after a board committee found that some aspects of disclosures it made about truck pre-orders were inaccurate. Lordstown went public last year through a special purpose acquisition company, or SPAC. That allowed it to forego the traditional IPO process, which would have included strict rules about what executives could say publicly about the company and its revenue projections. Our reporter Ben Foldy says the news is bringing up questions about the risks of going public via SPAC. Here's Ben speaking on last night's episode of our sister podcast, What's News?
A process that allows CEOs and executives to go out and make statements about their kind of future of the company that had been treated kind of differently from the IPO process is now kind of leading to these issues after the fact of you know, statements that may not have passed muster as a publicly traded company were made. So that's one element. And then the other, I think, is as part of amending their filing last week, Lordstown also admitted that they found, you know, material weaknesses in their financial reporting. And that kind of speaks to a broader problem that a lot of these companies seem to have, which is that, you know, they go public when they only have 50, 100 employees, you know, a smattering of folks. And, you know, a lot of those people don't seem to have experience, you know, with the accounting standards of a public company, with all the kind of extra layers of bureaucracy and rules that go with that, all the compliance costs.
Lordstown's stock fell about 19% in trading on Monday. The former executives didn't comment on the news or couldn't be reached for comment. And Bitcoin reached its highest level in more than 2 weeks yesterday, trading as high as $41,000 during the day. The news comes after the software company MicroStrategy completed a $500 million offering of junk bonds to buy Bitcoin, its third such sale in less than a year. Several high-profile figures also could have had an impact. The billionaire hedge fund manager Paul Tudor Jones told CNBC that he has Bitcoin in his portfolio. And Tesla CEO Elon Musk tweeted that his company would reinstate Bitcoin payments when more power used to mine the currency comes from renewable sources. All right, coming up after the break, the U.S. is trying a new strategy to shut Chinese telecom providers out of the world's 5G networks. That's next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
As next-generation 5G networks are rolled out, the U.S. government has been ramping up restrictions on Chinese-made telecom equipment from companies like Huawei and ZTE, and it's been working to convince other countries to follow suit. And now, Washington is rolling out various incentives to try and get more governments on board. For more on this, I'm joined by our reporter, Stu Wu. He's been following things. Hey, Stu, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just bring listeners up to speed here. Why has the U.S. been so focused on getting countries to cut Chinese telecom gear out of their systems? And what have their tactics looked like so far?
So a few years ago, a Chinese company that a lot of people haven't heard of called Huawei became the biggest maker of the cellular equipment in the world. That's the stuff that you need to make your cell phones work, to connect to the internet, to make calls. And they were worried that this company, Huawei, was beholden to the Chinese government. If the Chinese government asked them to spy or conduct a cyber attack, the U.S. government said Huawei would have no choice but do so. Now, Huawei says they're independent of Beijing, but the U.S. government didn't believe that. So about 3 years ago, what Washington started to do was they went to allies like the U.K., like Germany, like India, and they said, don't use Huawei. If you do so, your cellular networks are going to be prone to spying by the Chinese government or other bad actors. There's going to be risk for your national security. There's going to be risks for your military forces. The issue was, the U.S. couldn't do anything except say, don't do this. This is bad for your cybersecurity. And the only, if we're going to use the stick and carrot analogy, the only thing they had were sticks. And they said, hey, Germany, hey, UK, if you allow Huawei into your country, we're not going to share military intelligence with you. And that was the only tool they really had.
And, you know, it sounds like that's now changing. So tell us about these incentives, carrots now rather than sticks. What do those entail?
It took a couple of years, but near the end of the Trump administration, the U.S. started using its foreign policy departments or agencies like USAID, or there's a new one called the DFC. And what they did was they went to developing countries and said, okay, so you like using Chinese telecom equipment because it's cheaper than the alternatives. What if you use different telecom equipment made by companies we like from Europe or South Korea, we'll give you a very low interest loan. So you don't have to use Chinese telecom equipment. So that's one, that's the biggest tool they're doing, giving low interest loans to developing countries to use non-Chinese equipment. What else they're doing is that they're setting up these training programs, and they're saying if they're going to places like Southeast Asia, like Africa, like Latin America, like Central and Eastern Europe, and they're saying, hey, the U.S. has these experts. We can teach you how to write laws so you can ban unsecure Chinese equipment. We can tell you how much things will cost. We'll tell you about the cybersecurity and regulatory things you have to think about when you're setting up a 5G network.
So I guess the big question for me is, what's motivating these changes?
Oh, the number one thing is that the U.S. government thinks that 5G is going to be really important. It's going to be sort of the heartbeat that everything, that all things tech will beat on for the next, I don't know, decade or beyond. So we're talking about being 5G enabling things like driverless cars or automated factories or even internet connected sneakers or heart monitors, things like that. What they're worried about is this world where the only telecom equipment that's available is made by Chinese companies. And they're worried that that'll give Beijing a lot of influence to either spy or to just do or to just infiltrate countries via cyber attacks. And that's a big fear. So they're saying, hey, this is a really big deal. This is a bad idea. And we're going to give you this alternative that you can choose. And it's also, an issue. It's also a bit of soft power, too. The U.S. wants to remain influential in these developing countries where the Chinese government has been offering their own alternatives for infrastructure projects.
Got it. And so with some of those incentives that you laid out, you know, could this work? How receptive are these countries to the incentives that Washington is offering here?
These are really early stages, but there's been a couple of examples where this has shown to, you know, at least been received well by developing countries. So last year, the U.S. government offered up to a $500 million loan to a wireless carrier to bid to build a new wireless network in Ethiopia. It was a very low interest loan that this carrier wouldn't have been able to get from a commercial bank. And this bid ended up winning in Ethiopia. So one of the conditions of this up to $500 million loan is that you can't use it to buy Chinese telecom equipment. So at least that's one example of early receptivity to this idea.
And just playing that out a little further, if this is successful at a wider scale, what could the impact of this initiative be for the rollout of 5G networks around the world?
So right now, as I said, Huawei is by far the world's biggest maker of telecom equipment. So if the U.S. is going around and offering basically subsidized loans to other countries, then that's going to upend that order. And it's going to give a chance for these smaller European companies like Nokia or Ericsson or Samsung from South Korea. It's going to give them a shot to overtake Huawei as the world's number one maker of this equipment. So that's a much different world than we're in right now and we were in a few years ago.
All right. As you said, this is early days. What happens next for this initiative?
What happens next is that the U.S. has to use its diplomatic forces, basically, to go around the world and make contact with all the countries that they think are using too much telecom gear. And they have to have a conversation with them. Hey, would you be interested in a loan? Some countries aren't. There are a few countries in Europe, like Hungary, that have decided, no, we're going to develop really strong ties with the Chinese government. So it's going to take a lot of work, and there's going to be some doors that are going to be closed in their faces, basically, too.
All right. That's our reporter, Stu Wu. Thank you, Stu.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.